Father, apart from you, we can do nothing. And yet with you, all things are possible. So we have come before you this morning, asking you to teach us by your Spirit what it means to walk by faith, what it means to take up the shield of faith. So I'm asking that you would just teach through me as I present your truth, as we look into your word, as we look into our own lives, that you would expose the deceptions that have held us, that you would break chains that have kept us down and have held us back and have discouraged and disappointed us, that you would reveal the lie. But even more than that, Lord, I ask that you would reveal the truth, that you would conquer our unwillingness with your truth, that you would wash over us with the revelation of Jesus Christ, that submitting ourselves to you, Jesus, we would be indeed set free. So teach through me that Jesus, you would be glorified, and that we would have great joy in you. Amen. It was probably another day of 100 to 120 degrees. He'd been walking in this wilderness, led by the Spirit, for 40 days. He was now weak, tired, hungry, but fasting, praying, trusting. And then he shows up. That other he. That one that had been waiting for that moment. And he comes before Jesus and he says, you know, if you are the Son of God, why don't you just command these stones to become bread? Our souls are often tested most greatly when our bodies are most fragile, when our hearts are most disappointed, when life's not going the way we wished it would. We oftentimes then encounter the evil one coming, and we have trials and we have temptations, and we're beset with these uncomfortable, flesh-weakening events. And the evil one comes and says, if you've been attacked, you've been broken down. Some of you know what it means to be very, very weary. And when you're in that spot, it's hard to hang on to a faith perspective. But Jesus answers him who spoke to him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so out of his weakness, out of his frailty, out of his own brokenness, Jesus Christ speaks truth to himself and to the devil, and strengthens his faith. He strengthens his obedience. And Jesus provides us a template here. It's a template for how you and I can handle trials, how you and I can handle temptation, and how we can face the devil. And Jesus resists him with faith. Because that's how we're to walk. That's how you find a victory in this life. That's where it comes from. We are shielded with faith. And that's what we want to talk about today. And so I don't know what kind of attack that you've been under, what when you're currently going through, what you just came out of, or what you're afraid of is around the next corner. Because some of you, as soon as it gets good, you start worrying about what's coming next, as opposed to enjoying where you are. I'd be that, all right? But into the heartaches and the hang-ups of life, the scars and the struggles that lead us into this place of exhaustion. If you're not shielded by faith, you're going to go down. Because we are in a war. Isn't that right? We've been talking about that for several weeks now. This armor of God. And so I want to talk about this from Ephesians chapter 6. And that'll be our launching point. Remember, this is a topical study taken out of Ephesians 6, but revealed in the other portions of Scripture about how to handle this. Because you may be wounded, you may be limping right now, emotionally, some of you physically, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has victory for you. He has a victory for you. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm." Stand firm, therefore. "Having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one." Friends, the point of this whole series is this: you can win the battle you're in. I want you to get that. But we're going to look at another piece of the armor that is essential for you to be in, to be wearing, to be utilizing if you're going to have a victory. Because you won't have it without it. In fact, the Bible doesn't say pick up some of the armor. He says put on the whole armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. And so how do we defeat a spiritual enemy that you cannot see? You must do it by faith. You must be, as we've said already, first of all, girded about with truth. That the core character of your being is wrapped in and saturated with truth. And then we saw that marvelous concept that he has gifted us with his righteousness. I want to preach that one all over again. That's a hard one for us to hang on to. He's gifted us with his righteousness, and then he has equipped us to be able to stand firm in his gospel. It is the core of how you live this life is in the faith of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so then it brings us to this. He says, so in addition to all, verse 16, in addition to all, so you're not complete yet. I want you to get that. That we're not, this is essential to be equipped for battle with Christ, that you'd be shielded with faith. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. The shield of faith can defeat any dart the devil can throw. Friends, this is a crucial concept for you to understand, that the shield of faith can defeat any dart the devil can throw. And as I stand before you this morning, as sure as the word of God is you're already darted. You're already wounded. You're already under attack. You've already been scarred. There's stuff, even this morning, that's still hanging on to you. You're here and you presented yourself and said, God, would you please explain this to me? Okay, some of you, that was a prayer you asked for. So God's going to give you that this morning. I promise you. He's going to give you what you asked for. You listen to him. You will be able. This is so cool, because here he is talking about the shield of faith, and what does he give you? A promise. Because, see, your faith has to be rooted in, growing up from, the promises of God. That is the foundation by which you step forward, is that you cannot stand if you do not believe. But if you believe, God's promises work in your life. That's the power comes through that faith. And so here, in the midst of talking about the shield of faith, he says, hey, by the way, here's this promise. With faith, you can defeat anything. Anything the devil can throw at you. And some of you are going to be, you're hearing me right now, and you're agreeing with me right now, but you're not believing with me right now. You're not there yet. You can give me the nod to God, but I want you to get this today. All right? So as you listen, I'm going to say, hey, did you get that? You can say, got it. Okay? We'll say, oh, good. All right? Did you get that? Got it. Okay, good. Okay. I want you to get this thing, because it is so easy. You've heard it and you've heard it and you heard it. And you just go, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And you go out hungry because you really didn't take it. So I want you to take this thing here. He says, with this shield, you'll be able to defeat any dart the devil can throw. He says, I want you to take up the shield of faith. God provides you the ability to handle all spiritual adversity through faith. God provides you the ability to handle all spiritual adversity. In fact, after I was thinking this and I'd already printed it, I thought I should have scratched the word spiritual. Because it'll handle all adversity, whether you see it as spiritual or not. In fact, all adversity that you're in has a spiritual effect. So whether you just want to recognize that as that's everything that's going on in my life, God will give you what you need to handle what you're up against. What father wouldn't take care of his child that way? So we're coming to the spot, remember, this is all relational, that you would trust the one who says, I'm here with you. You would trust the one who says, I'm going to take you through that. If God brings you to it, God will take you through it. You understand that? I'm not saying you're not up against a battle. You are. We are in a war. You are under attack, but you can win. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of God. And so in this place, I want you to see that. So what does he say? He says, I want you to do what? He says, you're to be what? Taking up the shield of faith. You're to be taking up this shield. And so I'm thankful somebody loaned me their shield this week. And but you know, a lot of people don't get it. We read these Bible verses, and I've read them a bunch. And oftentimes, it'll just wash. Do you know what I'm talking about? You do your daily devotions, and you finish it up and say, okay, check. I did it. Did it go in? Did you get the idea that he says, I want you to take up, that there is something in a responsibility to you in your response to what you're believing, that you have to hang on to this? Because I think a lot of people have faith. They just aren't taking it up. You know, and if you don't take it up, guess what? You can't respond very well to the circumstances that you're in. Do you understand that? See, I could, okay, I've got faith. You can move around a little bit with your faith, but unless you take it up, unless you get a grip on the truth of the Word of God, believing it in your own heart, you won't be able to respond against the attacks of the evil one. Roman soldiers had these shields. And the term that they used for shield, the root term for their shield, was actually came from the word for door. All right? So we're not talking about this little circle shield that they had at one time. They went through several different types of shields over the Roman Empire's term, but they came at one spot where they came upon this idea. And this shield would be 2.5 feet wide, 4 feet long. Okay, so longer than this. All right. I'm glad this one isn't, because it's heavy. All right? And then it would be a hand's width wide. It would be three to four layers of wood glued together crosswise to create greater strength, because they discovered over time that, you know what, that sword can go right through the first layer. You know, you go to the battle once, you go, hey, I need a thicker shield. And so they came to do that, and then they would cover it with canvas and then with leather. And then as they went into battle, they would soak that leather, because there would be flaming missiles thrown at them, and when it hit the leather, it would be extinguished, so it wouldn't light their shield on fire. Because if they could get the shield lit on fire, what does a person do? You drop your shield. And friends, that is exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to put down your shield. He wants you to come up against a situation and go, this isn't working for me. And you give up your hope, you give up your perspective. But I'm here to tell you that the shield of faith can defeat any dart that the devil can throw. It can do that. And so we have to come to a spot where you will trust it, that it will stop. Because if you don't think it will stop, guess what? You're going to retreat. You're going to walk away from the battle. So faith will stand when faith believes. Okay, because there's a head knowledge faith, and there's a heart response faith. We are saved through faith in Christ. That's a heart response, right? Sanctified by the same way, friends. You're sanctified through faith in Christ. It is a heart response to each unsanctifying situation where you trust him and he'll bring you the victory. All right, so I'm getting ahead of myself. So why don't we win more? If he's given us all we need to have the victory, why don't we win more? Have you ever asked that question? I do. We don't get it with this faith thing. We don't make this choice. When you take up the shield in response to whatever circumstance you're in, whenever a fear comes against you, that's the dart of the evil. But you have to meet that with faith. And faith is this idea of belief in the truth of God and the God of truth. It is a confidence in Christ that says he is who he says he is, and he is enough for me. Tell the person next to you, he is enough for me. Can you do that? Tell him, he's enough. He's enough for me. Because we're going to look at it in a few minutes, because there's a temptation that comes that says he's not. And then you're on your own. And then you're wide open to the attack. But the shield of faith says, he's enough for me. And so this idea is, it's a faith in God, is that our victory comes through faith, John said. Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. But it's not a faith in faith. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's this thought that people have, say, okay, I gotta work it up. I gotta. You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying. And if you're trying, what? You're failing. Remember, I've already went over that. If you're trying, you're failing. What we're doing is trusting. This isn't a try. There's a truth. I need to trust, and I'll walk by faith. Now, I don't try to get something up. I trust something that's already been built by Jesus Christ. His work is what I trust. And so it's not a faith in faith. It's a faith in God, and the God of truth gives me what I need in any and every situation to walk in victory. This is the most exciting thing I could possibly tell you. You don't have to lose. Now Dan pointed out in the communion devotional that we, as people who have sinned, we have people who have a body of flesh, will continue to make sinful choices. But you don't have to, because he's given you what you need to walk in victory over this. Look how he put this in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. I'd like you to read this verse out loud with me. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Okay? There's an enemy out to take you down. There's an enemy out to eat you for lunch. That's what the Word of God says. True? But read this again. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He will give you the power that you need and the protection that you need to handle what you're up against. See, nobody else knows what that other person's been saying to you. Nobody else knows what those thoughts are that are going through your mind. Nobody else knows what happened to you in your childhood, but Jesus Christ does, and he will strengthen, and he will protect you, and he will meet you in that place when you meet with him. That's his plan. That's what the Word of God says. And this is so cool, because once again, as we talk about, put on the armor, the Lord is faithful. Because the Lord is our faithful shield. The Lord is our faithful shield. Because the shield is a person. It's not just this process. It's not just this idea. It's a relationship with a person. You come to abide in Christ, and you are shielded in Christ. The more you trust, the more victory you experience. Now, don't think the more you trust, the less problems you have. That is not in the book. Okay? Don't think the more you trust, the less battles you have. That's not in the book. We're in a war till we're home. All right? This is a battlefield, all right? But the more you trust, the more victories you'll experience because he is with you. And so he tells you, take up the shield of faith. What in essence he's saying is, will you cling to Christ? Will you walk your life with Christ? Remember, the very call of discipleship is what? Follow me. Follow me. He says, walk with me. Depend on me. Trust in me. Take this on as a lifestyle of living in relationship with me. It's not just this thing that you add into your life. It is the core essence of living in a dependence upon Christ. And faith is like that. It's just this awesome thing. I like the way Martin Luther put it, because he was a guy who'd been trying, all right? And this is an awesome time to think about Martin Luther, because 500 years ago, he discovered the grace of God. And he discovered the faith that God could work in his life when he believed on him and he was set free. But here's what he says. He says, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and so certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. And he did. And he did. He stood for faith alone, and they put him on the most wanted list. God protected that man. It's a powerful, powerful story. You can read that on your own. All right? We're going to stay in the Word. So, okay, God's a shield to all who will trust in him. So he provides you that ability to handle all adversity through faith. All right? So why do we have such a struggle? The rest of the verse there in Ephesians 16 says, so you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Because you are under attack. That there is somebody trying to distract you from the faith that protects you. All right? And so, how does he do that? Well, again, it does not explain that right here in Ephesians 6. That's why we're doing this as a topical study. Because I want you to show you some more places. But Jesus said something about the devil. Do you remember what it was? He is a liar and a father of lies. When he speaks from his own nature. That's all he does is lie. Don't ever expect to get truth from the devil. You can't take counsel from your fears. You have to get counsel from the Word of God. And so what the devil tries to do, you can see this in the Garden of Eden, you can see this in the wilderness of Judea that we just talked about with Jesus, is this is what he'll do. The devil will disable your faith. How? By deceiving you about truth. He's going to try to disable your faith. He's going to get you to put that shield down by deceiving you about what the truth is, because your faith has to be based on what? Truth. All right? Because when you believe something to be true, it transforms you. You'll act on that basis. All right? But if what you believe to be true is not true, did you hear me? If what you believe to be true is not true, you are not acting on the basis of a lie, and you are deceived. And that is the source of all your disobedience, all your brokenness, is as you walked into a lie, thinking that this was good and it was evil. And we have a world today that is saying, this evil, this is good. This good, this is evil. Do you see that in this world today? We have this complete contradiction of the Word of God. And why? Because if they can deceive you about what is true, that'll disable your faith. And so this is a foundational concept to how you find victory. In fact, any soldier understands that when an army moves, if they're moving into attack, deception is a key part. Key part of the battle. Every major battle, that has been a key aspect, is that there's some way that you try to deceive the enemy about what you're going to do, so then you can do what you want to do. And that's what the evil one does against us. But he is a liar and the father of lies, and what he wants to do is invite you to say, I wonder if that's true. And if he can get you wondering about the truth, he's got you letting go of the shield. You see, when he came to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what did he say? If you are the Son of God. Yeah. Did the devil know Jesus was the Son of God? Yes. Oh, yeah. Every demon that came in contact with him was like, oh, 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 you got it, man. They were scared. The book says so. They were trembling. They knew they were toast. He knew, but what's he introducing? Doubt. All right? You see, because doubting God leads to being deceived, which leads to defeat. Doubt leads to defeat, friends. You need to believe the truth. Doubt what? Your doubts. That's what you need to doubt. You need to doubt your doubts. Some of you are looking at the Word of God and say, I don't know about that. You need to start doubting what you're doubting. All right, you doubt your doubts, you believe the truth, okay? Because deception changes your perception, okay? Hitler knew that the Allied forces were going to attack France. True story? Absolutely, they knew. And they could figure out, you just look at a map and you can figure out, okay, well, based on weather, based on circumstance, based on situation, this is where they're coming from. And he reinforced that whole French coast. And what did the military, U.S. military do? They all sorts of deception. You know, they had a whole inflated army completely blown up for deceiving, to let them think that there was this army was coming in a certain direction. All right? They even sent spies who escaped with the story about where the battle was going to start. People gave their lives to protect the truth so that we could deceive them. And they did not know where we were coming across. And that's what led to the victory at Normandy. It wasn't because we were the overwhelming force. You could not have got the overwhelming force on the beach without deception. So deception changes perception, which then changes behavior. Anybody following me yet? Do you get that? You get it? No, I'm not convinced. Did you get it? Okay, good. All right. Your deception will change your perception, which will change your behavior. Okay, so you look at your areas of defeat, it's because there's deception somewhere going on. You look at the areas of depression in your life, there's deception somewhere going on there. All right. So how does he work? Now this is James Downing's observations from Scripture. And so I'm going to give you three ways that I believe he works in the realm of deception. And it would take some time to develop all of these with you, but you check it out in the Word of God. You check it out in your notes because I always give you references, so you'll go search it out. But I think there are three areas. Number one is with contradiction. Number two is with solicitation. Number three is with accusation. He works with contradiction, solicitation, and accusation to deceive you about what is true. But if you'll discover this, if you'll think this through and then begin applying your faith to it, it will change you. So contradiction is the first one we want to look at. You've already seen it being utilized. It was utilized with Eve back in the garden. Did God say, remember, what's he doing? He's introducing a question to create a contradiction to the truth. Did God say you couldn't eat from any tree? Now she gets to inform the devil, but she's just entering into a conversation that you are not supposed to have. When you meet the devil, you resist him. You don't have a chit-chat, okay? You send him on his way. It's just like that salesman calls. You don't say, oh, it's so nice to hear from you today. Do you? You don't do that. You say, goodbye. I hope you're nice enough to say, have a nice day. Bless them on their way. They've interrupted your day. You're going to interrupt their conversation. Sorry. Free point. All right. But that's how I do it. All right. So what does contradiction do? It leads to questions, to doubt, to denying God's character or God's word. Did God say, if you are the Son of God, In the garden, you will not die. Is that a lie? Absolutely. Is it partly true? Yeah. She didn't die instantly. See, so he was telling the truth. Oh, you didn't die that moment. Well, yes, you did, because you then were separated from God. See, there's that. This is that deception issue, is that he comes in with a contradiction that is seeming like partly true. This is okay. You've already done this before, so you can do it again. It really won't matter. Are you with me yet? So this whole thing goes along this way. Jesus said, it is written. See, he come back, he faces the contradiction with what? With truth. He meets it there, see? But you know what the devil came back with? Well, you know, it's written in the Bible. Oh, you didn't think the devil can quote scripture. I'm here to tell you. He knows the Bible. He don't trust it, but he will use it. He will twist it. There are lots of teachers in pulpits across this country who are twisting truth, claiming to be teaching the Word of God, and taking people away from Christ. If Christ is not exalted, the pulpit is dishonored. He must be continually exalted. And so there's this deception that goes on. He says, you know what? All these kingdoms of the world are mine. You fall down and worship me, they'll be yours. What's he offer him? He offers him a path to kingship apart from the Father's plan, without the cross, without the pain. Isn't that what Satan offers you? He offers you this path to fulfillment without the pain. He offered, hey, just make this bread. It's a legitimate need that can be met in an illegitimate way. And so much sin, that's what it's about. And so it's contradiction, all right? And what does he do? He wants to take you out of truth, because the less time you spend in the truth, the less time you'll recognize the deception. You'll be slower to recognize deception, all right? You won't see that was a lie. All right, then you'll be deceived, then you'll be defeated. Okay, so you have to be in the truth to know the truth, to trust the truth. See, it's not enough to know. All right, I don't want to offend anybody here, but I might. You can know a lot of the Word of God and not be walking out that Word. You can know a lot and not be heart trusting back to him. So it is true, if you know the truth will set you free. But if you understand what Jesus meant when he says you will know the truth, it is an experiential relationship with truth himself that he's inviting you to, and that sets you free. Verse 36 says, if you know the Son of God, the Son sets you free, what? You'll be free indeed. You'll really be free. So there's this issue with contradiction, all right? So now what happens is the evil one will deceive us. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There's three areas, again, that we have to have victory in. It's your view of God, your view of yourself, your view of your circumstances, okay? So he wants to deceive you about who God's like. What's he say? God's evil. God's holding out on you. God's not faithful. God doesn't care. Have you heard any of those lately? They're in your head. There's a lie being said when you, I didn't expect God wouldn't let me go through that. So many of you, so many of us have been broken on rocks that we thought we'd never, ever hit because we were a Christian. And he says, see, God doesn't love you because look what he let happen. No, friends, God lets things happen so you would know him. Oh, we don't get this thing. His ways are higher than our ways. But so instead of believing God, what does he cause you to do? Blame God. So as soon as he can get you not trusting, but now blaming, guess what? You are separated from your shield. You're wide open to attack. See, he's tore down your faith. You're not trusting the one who's protecting you. You're now doubting the one who's protecting you. You're resenting the one who's protecting you. You're frustrated with God. And in that place, you're slaughtered by the evil one. Okay, so you have to turn your heart towards Christ. All right? You just listen to the Lord, not the liar. All right, so that's contradiction. So, who have you been listening to? See, I can just say don't listen, but I wanted to ask you that question. Who have you been listening to? You know how you can tell? Check your calendar. Check your free time. Where do you go when you go to not actively doing something? See, your videos, your books, your movie, music, does it exalt the Savior? If it doesn't, it's deceiving the saint. You have to, we are in a continual battle, friends. There's no spot for slackness, all right? Zwingli, one of the other reformers, said this. He said, the Christian life then is a battle so sharp and full of danger that effort can nowhere be relaxed without loss. Study your military history. Why was the Battle of the Bulge such a battle? I'm not going to tell you. You go check it out. You cannot relax. You must continue to press in, to resist, to push forward. So your next step is what? Is solicitation. Satan comes with solicitation. After he's worked on the contradiction thing, another way he works is solicitation. What is solicitation? Check out that word. It kind of goes along with the concept of prostitution. It's the idea that you can get something by paying for it with your flesh. So what is it? It's selling sin as satisfying to the saint. This will bring you satisfaction. You remember what Moses discovered? He went after it with Christ, Hebrews chapter 11. Amazing story there of leaving Pharaoh's palace, leaving all the inheritance he had as a son of the emperor, the Pharaoh, choosing to endure ill treatment with the children of God. He chose to go associate with the slaves. Why? Believing that the reproach of Christ, greater treasure than the passing pleasures of sin. We're not saying sin's not pleasurable. I'm saying it's temporary, and it comes with a price. The wages of sin is death. That price is not going to change. Never will. God's already said it. It's in the Word. It's truth. I base my faith on the Word of God. That truth says sin will always bring death. So when I sin, it's going to cost me in some relationship, in some situation. It may not be instantly. I may not even recognize it at the time. But if I don't turn from my sin, I've turned from my Savior. If I turn from my Savior, then I'm going to be weakened. I'm going to be wounded. I'm going to be damaged because sin brings death. Kill, steal, or destroy. So What does he say? Hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Why don't you eat from this tree? It will make you wise. And he solicits something that is about you. Is this all about you anyway? Isn't that right? You deserve this. Isn't that the American message? All the sales pitches are about, you know, have it your way. Do it your way. You deserve this. And that whole ego thing. Friends, if you seek satisfaction contrary to God's will, you will suffer eventually. That's just the truth of the Word of God. All right? So he tells you something that's partly true, and you go that way, and then you're walking out of the will of God. So what is this when we talk about the sin issue? The solicitation is actually a solicitation to sin. It's not a solicitation to satisfaction, but if he sold you something, say, would you like to drink some poison and die? You wouldn't buy. True story? So we have to say this will satisfy, this will help you, this will bless you in some way, because you wouldn't buy it if you didn't believe that. So he's going to sell you something short. So it seems partly true. You seek to satisfy, and it destroys you. Sin involves actions that he invites you to take, or inaction. Did you know inaction can be a sin? Oh, well, you know the right thing to do, you don't do it. James 4:17, that's sin. So procrastination, sorry to mess you up here, procrastination, some of us are pretty good at that skill. A lot of times, if it relates to the Word of God, that's sin. All right, you're putting off something God's already told you to do. So action, inaction, as well as what? Your thoughts and your attitudes. Because Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman to lust for her in his heart, this is just a thought thing. What's he say? He says, that's adultery. You see, because God lives where? He lives in the relationship with our heart. The whole external thing is this life that we're experiencing here, but your relationship with God is in your heart. You can't carry lust around in your heart. You can't carry bitterness around in your heart. You can't carry fear around in your heart and not think that those thoughts are damaging to your relationship with God and undermining your ability to step forward in faith. So your thoughts and then your attitudes. Oh, we can cop an attitude, can we not? And you got certain people? Oh, yeah. You got attitudes about it. You have certain politicians. You just see them on that TV and you start to spit. You know what I'm talking about. You got an attitude. I'm here to tell you, some of you need to practice some forgiveness during the news. That's what I'm here to say. You can see the bitterness of your heart boils over with the lies and the deception that, you know, both parties are throwing on us. And, hey, are you going to walk in the truth? Listen. All sin is a belief in a lie. That's what it is. It's a belief in a lie. You're believing something. You didn't believe in the truth. You're believing a lie. When you believe a lie, you act on what you believe. So if you want to have victory over any habitual sin in your life, you have to go after what's the lie behind this? What is it that I'm believing that's contrary to the Word of God? All right? Third thing, I need to keep moving. Accusations. Okay, so we covered contradictions, solicitations, accusations. One of the ways the evil one comes against the believer, and I believe he actually comes against the unbeliever this way as well, but not in quite the same manner, is blaming and shaming. So first of all, he solicits you to sin. You buy in, and what's he do? Shame on you, you filthy, rotten sinner, and you call yourself a Christian. You ever heard that story? He calls you to buy it. You buy it. He slams you for it. That's called blame and shame. All right? And it comes on you for choosing sin. Oh, but this is something the Lord showed me this week. It comes on you for how you respond to the sins that others chose against you. Because some of you have been horribly wounded by other sins, and it shamed you. That's the attack of the enemy. He tries to slander you by the abuse that you've been through, by the brokenness that you've been through, and he tries to make it about you. But I'm here to tell you that you are in Christ forgiven. You are in Christ a new creation. You are in Christ empowered and set free. What somebody else has done to you is not you. It's them. So don't let that shame. He takes away. Christ takes our shame upon the cross. I don't care what anybody else has done to you. Christ took shame upon himself. Accusations. When we buy into the accusation, you are not going to go to battle. Because I'm not fit to be a soldier. And as soon as he's got you thinking that, once again, your shield is laying on the ground. You won't step forward. Listen. This idea of picking up, taking up the shield of faith is what must be done for you to handle the contradictions, for you to handle the solicitations, for you to handle this whole idea of the accusation, that you would meet it with the truth of the Word of God. Luther said this, I thought this was pretty good. Luther wrestled a lot with his head. Where do we say the battle is? In your head. It's in your mind. It's in your heart and in your mind. That's where the battle is. Luther had all sorts of battles. He got so mad at the devil one day, he threw his inkwell at him. Okay, was he there in his room? No, but he knew those thoughts. He had his conscious response to the solicitations, the accusations. But one of the things he says, you know, the devil reminds me that I'm a sinner. He says, I find comfort in that. Because Jesus died for sinners. See, when Satan reminds you about your sin, you remind him about your Savior. You move from being put down to lifting up the Savior, and you're going to walk in victory over any area of shame. He tries to put you down. You lift up your Savior. Don't lift up yourself. See, that's what he wants to do. He's going to play you to pride when you step up and say, I'm not that bad. Boom! You're toast right there. You stepped in with pride. No, I meet it with saying, my Savior is awesome. Amen. When you resist the devil, he runs. You have to meet the attack with resistance. You have to hold the faith forward in your life. There's a choice that you make in any and every situation, and it's this: will I believe what God says is true about him, about me, and about my circumstances? That's what faith is. Will I believe what God says, not what I feel, not what I think, but what God declares to be true? That's why I spend time in the book. That's why I have to keep staying back in this book. So what's he say? All right, take up the shield of faith, because with it you'll be what? Able to extinguish what? All the flaming missiles of the evil one. Friends, there is nothing that's beating you up. I don't care how many decades it's beat you up. There is nothing that's beating you up that you can't beat in Christ, with Christ, through Christ. All right. But my third point is this: you can defeat the devil's deception by believing and obeying God's truth. You have to do something. You keep doing the same thing you've always done, you'll keep getting the same results. You want to see something different? You got to do something different in your relational response to Christ. So why do we lose? Because we don't discern the devil's attack and the deception comes in. You don't act against it. If you don't act against it, he's going to make headway. He gets a foothold. Remember that whole stronghold thing, Ephesians chapter 4. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give the devil a foothold. Okay, I can't preach all that. You guys have to touch that on yourself. But look, he says, you're supposed to what? You meet him with resistance. First Peter, why don't you read this verse with me? Now remember, I love it that the Bible has not just the truth, but he has the person testifying of the truth. Remember who this guy is? This is the guy who knows what it's down to sleep on his shield. This is the guy who laid down on his shield and slept on it when he was supposed to be kneeling on it. All right? And Peter says this, read it with me. Be of a sober spirit. Do you know what that meant? A sober spirit always meant to be prepared. It had to do with, when it was used in the New Testament, with the issue of prayer. Be of a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil is looking for you at lunch. That's the issue. So you need to understand that. So then what is the response to that? Read it. But resist him firm in your faith. Read that again. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Friends, you're not alone. What you're going through is not alone. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says there is no temptation taken you, but as such is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you might be able to endure it. Oh, no, I thought we were supposed to get out of it. No, he's going to strengthen you through it. All right? So he says you have to resist. All right? A firm faith will make the devil flee. That's the promise of the Word of God. You say, I can't deal with that. Oh, yes, you can. And by the way, I'm going to disappoint some of you here. You aren't usually encountering the devil. Yeah, really? He thinks you're small potatoes. Remember, the devil is not omnipresent. The Bible talks about that. He was wandering around on the earth. He comes before the presence of God. He's got other dominions. He's got other authorities. That's what Ephesians 6 talks about. Oftentimes, you're not dealing with the devil. You're dealing with a demon. All right? You're dealing with other demonic forces. But we just put that title up there. But I want to say that to you because you can make a demon flee. You can make the devil flee when you resist in faith. There is nothing that faith can't defeat. Nothing. But you have to resist. There is a choice to be made. Your faith in God, in his promises, and his commands. We like to claim the promises, but you know how often they come with conditions? Hey, do this. Yeah, there's no commands for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. They're all for the believer. He tells us, you do this with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't tell the Holy Spirit what to do. He says, you do this and the Holy Spirit will empower you. So you obey his commands and you are activated against him. All right? So what do? I'm in a bummed out situation. You know? I finish up on a Sunday. By Sunday night, I'm in seizures through my neck. And what do? I give thanks to God because my God is working for good in all situations. Is that the true story? That is a true story, friends. Listen, you want to deal with that temptation? What does he say? He says you flee temptation. You get yourself out of that situation, all right? He says you don't withdraw from the fellowship when you're feeling down. He says you gather together. You continue to draw in because you are to encourage others. Quit thinking only about yourself. Go bless somebody else. You come into your life group. You fellowship. We don't withdraw. And we encourage our brothers. We don't keep. Accusations are the enemy's action. Believers, we ought not to be slandering, gossiping about other people. Listen, he says, resist the devil. Resistance is your responsibility. Tell your neighbor. Go ahead, right now. Just tell him. Resistance is your responsibility. You know, when soldiers would go forward, I thought this was really interesting. When they would take position, this left hand arm in the shield, you were protecting not only yourself, but you know who else? Your neighbor. And then your right hand was free, so you were protecting your neighbor. You had to go forward together in this battle, and they would thrust through. Sometimes there's actually spears would come from the second or the third row and go right past them, and all they would be doing is holding onto the shield because they would be resisting. Know why? Because you knock the other guy off his footing, his shield moves, shook, he's down. You press forward, you resist. You don't just stand there. You resist. You go against the enemy, friends. There's a choice to be made by us in these situations, and resistance is your responsibility. So I have to have a faith, and it's not just an agreeing with God, but it's in obeying God. It's easy to give a nod to God. It's easy to say, yeah. Haven't you had a child do that before? You tell them what to do? And they go, oh, yeah. And, you know, we call it yeah, you know. God. Because you're not going to say no to God very often, I hope. But we have to obey him. We choose to step into that. But deception will slip into your mind. It will mislead you. It will deceive you. There is a trial that was just taking place this week of a U.S. soldier in Afghanistan. Some of you know who I'm talking about. And what did he do? The stories from what I've been able to do the research on is there's a man tormented in his thoughts and with what was going on in battle. And he laid down his armor and he went over to the enemy. Some kind of crazy deception goes over to the enemy and thinks, oh, I'm going to be a star. Oh, yeah, he was a star torture victim and experienced torture till the next few years until those who he abandoned came and rescued him. And you putting down your shield puts other soldiers at risk. Stand up in the battle. Stand up. We need you together. The contradictions, the solicitations, the accusations must be answered, though. That's what I don't know if this is making any sense to you guys. You have to answer this stuff. When it's spoken to you, the contradictions, the solicitations, the accusations must be answered with a word of truth, with the response of faith. What do I mean? Jesus said, what? It is written. He just didn't stand there. He answered him. The resistance comes by speaking truth back into the situations of your world. All right? And so when we step forward with that, faith is founded on the word of God. Proverbs 30, verse 5. This is a great little promise. Every word of God is tested, and he's a shield to those who take refuge. You got to take refuge, but he's the shield. Every word of God is tested. I mean, it's sure. It's been proven. It's reliable. All right? So you can trust the Savior and his truth to confront the lies in your life with truth. And you press against the enemy with resistance. Believing God's truth defeats the devil's deception. That's one of the powerful things about singing songs. Why is worship such a powerful experience? Because you're singing out truth and you tell yourself the truth. When you're doubting the truth, play great Christian music and let it remind you of the truth. I was with a brother this last week in ICU. Not saying any names, but some of you know. He was greatly discouraged with his condition. How'd you like to be 2 weeks in ICU? But when we were telling him truth, and I could see that I was getting the yeah. And so I began to sing truth to him. And he sang it back to me. And I could see his spirit lift. Sing it to each other. That's what the Bible says. You speak the truth to us. That's when we come and we worship. Worship leaders are powerful people because they remind us of what God's truth is. We need that reminder. It's part of the battle. And so he provides specific promises for specific problems. So you answer that. Look what Psalms 114 says. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. You see, believing God's truth empowers you into obedience. That's why you always hear me talking so much about getting into the Word. That's why we've written all these different studies. I know a lot of you just walk by that little thing back there. There's 24 different topics of truth revealed to you that you could renew your mind to the truth. And so how to hang on to hope, or how do you deal with lust? Who am I in Christ? What do I do with my anger? The Bible has an answer for any problem you're up against. And if you don't know what it is, talk to your life group leader. Give me a call. Talk to one of your elders. There's an answer for what you're up against so that you can resist with faith all. And you can win because Christ has won. You can win because Christ has won. You're trusting in the victory Christ has won for you. Your faith in God will defeat any dart the devil can throw. Victory does not come from knowing truth. It comes from trusting truth. Take up the shield of faith, and you'll be able to resist in the evil day. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. That verse, that promise, has powered my life, has motivated my ministry. It says, there is, I may not be experiencing it today. I meet some Christians and I go, they ain't got it, but my Savior's got it. He promised that I'm going to trust him for it. There's an abundant life. If you've never come to Christ, I invite you today to come to the one who will wash your sin and give you an abundant life. But you come to him not just to get clean, but to get right. To get aligned, to exalt the Savior. That's God's plan for you, friends. And it's an awesome, awesome plan that we would walk in that shield of faith and experience the victory. It's for you. Renew your mind. Obey the truth. Father, I want to thank you for this word and your grace towards us. But there's not a person here who doesn't have a secret sin. That one that you talked about in Hebrews 12, it easily entangles us. I want to ask right now that you would give hope, that they would hear what you have said to them today, that victory is available. I want to ask that you would bring out to their heart and their mind the answer of truth that addresses the problem that has pierced their soul for so long. That they would walk out of that shame, that they would walk out of that controlled behavior into the freedom of the Spirit of God. Lord, I'm asking today that you would break chains here. Break chains here and set us free by trusting in the truth of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you, Jesus, won the victory for us. We give you glory. Amen.